Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al. Hanging out in the studio today with Mr. Dan Benoit.
Hey, everybody.
So, we are down to just a duo today, I'm afraid. Miss Danielle had to go do something.
Female things? I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure just work things.
Oh, okay.
But way to make it sexist, like 10 seconds into the show. I'm like, good, I really want to make sure we offended
someone. I wanted
someone.
To really cement that Danielle's not here.
Right. And you know what? It's too bad, too, because we're talking TV shows, and Danielle, you know, it seems like we would want her to be here for that. Mild spoilers. We're going to be more interested in talking about kind of the overarching stuff rather than any specific stuff. We're taking a look at seeing how our favorite dorky TV shows are doing so far into the fall TV premiere. So before we do that, we've got about 800 This Week in Geeks. So let's go ahead and get started for This Week in Geek. All right. Up first, we're not going to spend tons of time on it. I could go on about it for about 3 or 4 days because me, but it's just a stupid interview. They're doing a Booster Gold Blue Beetle movie.
Has that been confirmed, or is this just
DC has announced?
That just came up in top in a conversation.
No. DC announced they're doing one.
Okay.
They haven't got a writer, a date, an actor, a plot, an idea. Like I think the problem was somebody high enough up in DC said, "Yeah, we're going to do that," and everybody else said, "Oh well."
And then Nathan Fillion basically said, yeah, I'd be down to be part of that if they wanted me to be part of it.
Right, right. Well, because
nobody said he was going to be part of it, though, right?
Oh, no. Nobody's. Okay. No. Not even close. So if you've never heard of Booster Gold or Blue Beetle, that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. We're getting into what you probably call like the C-list, B-list.
Yeah, tertiary DC characters.
Like, and that's bad, guys. Like, that's bad because there's really just the A-list.
And that's kind of Booster Gold's whole thing, though.
Right.
That's part of his shtick.
That is true, that he's like
a... In a world where Marvel is giving us Jessica Jones, the TV show, you know, I think we can get away with Booster Gold in the movies.
That's fair. I like Booster Gold. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to do a Booster Gold movie, it's pretty obvious to me that Nathan Fillion would be the perfect Booster Gold.
I don't know. In theory, I like it. 10 years ago, yes. I don't know that.
Yeah, all right.
That he's necessarily the guy for a skin tight uniform at this point.
Are you suggesting that my man Nathan Fillion is in anything less than perfect shape?
I've tuned into Castle here and there, and
he is enjoying his celebrity a little bit.
Yeah, he has become accustomed to his lifestyle of not eating ramen noodles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that you and I have got tons of room to talk.
Not at all.
Actually, I'm
not fit for spandex.
Yeah, oh, God. Nobody wants to see me in anything form-fitting, revealing. Anyway. These are both kind of C-level characters within the Marvel universe. Or sorry, DC universe, which is bad because the B-level is like... the Flash is probably B-level at this point. You know what I mean? Like, you've got the big three, and after that, you've got some solid B-levels. You know, your Green Lantern,
your
Flash. Yeah,
I'd say DC has a huge B-level.
They have A, B level.
I think it's pretty
the
big
The rest
one.
Of the Justice League, other than the big three, are your B level. From there, it falls.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. No, that's what I thought.
I guess.
Anyway, so Alan Tudyk then immediately said that he would do Blue Beetle if Alan Tudyk was doing... Because somebody asked him about it. He wasn't just volunteering that information.
Well, of course he would.
He'd be a great one, too. The Blue Beetle was kind of a... It depends on which one we're talking about here. Just so you're clear, there's... multiple Blue Beetles. Ted Kord was was one of the first DC Blue Beetles, mm-hmm. and he was kind of an Alan Tudyk type thing. The new guy is Jaime Reyes, which is a young Hispanic teen, I think high school or early college kid.
Right.
And I don't know that Alan Tudyk's going to be able to pull that off. I mean, he's talented, right? But not... I don't know if he's a young Hispanic teenager. I don't know if that's going to be...
not quite his wheelhouse.
No, and I doubt DC has a, you know, young Hispanic teenage superhero and looks around and says, you know what? I'd like to go for an older white guy.
Right.
That's really, I feel like, where the industry is going. All right, up next, Arrest and Life. I shouldn't love this, right? I shouldn't find this stuff so funny. But we have another incident of illegal gambling, match fixing, like all this stuff. Like, you remember we had this story a couple months ago, about the guys that were hopped up on like all sorts of stuff. to stay awake during their matches, and
they were doing all kinds of amphetamines and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. They were doping for their video game matches. Now we have an incident where with match fixing, ties to organized crime, all surrounding StarCraft.
Wow.
All StarCraft 2 specifically in South Korea. Not surprising. I mentioned it before. These people play StarCraft. They take StarCraft very, very seriously. There's mm-hmm. two full television channels that show nothing but StarCraft, like StarCraft 1, not even StarCraft 2. StarCraft 1, 20, that's all they show. And so, I mean, I'm not surprised that there's match fixing going on, but it just seems so weird to me. You know, like, I'm having a hard time wrapping around. I played Mario Brothers. You know what I mean? Like, right. You didn't really. At no point, I mean, if anything, I thought Mario might have been on the take because that son of a bitch should have made that jump. I pressed the jump button.
Every time.
And he did. He missed that jump every time. And I'm like, I think you're full of it. Let's see. The other thing. Okay, we are going to mention Marvel's Jessica Jones. We have to do this.
Yes. We had the full trailer release.
Wow.
Oh, it looks so amazing.
Just wow.
It's really everything that I was hoping for. They managed to keep the grittiness and the realism of Daredevil and yet somehow incorporate her superpowers into it. The Purple Man is being handled beautifully.
David Tennant.
Yeah, as a bad guy.
It's
so cool.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
He scares the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm. That guy has range. He really doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No, well, he actually gets way more credit than he deserves with a very small segment of the population.
He gets credit from Whovians, but that's about right.
Whovians think he could literally play anything. Like, young teenage Hispanic? Yeah, no, absolutely. David Tennant could do it.
Yeah. I mean, did you watch Grace Point? Broadchurch?
No, but I watched... What was the other one that caught him in? I don't remember now. It doesn't matter.
He played an alcoholic detective that had, like, all kinds of skeletons in his closet. It was very, like, True Detective-y.
Nice.
His character. And to go from the Doctor to that to now...
The Purple Man.
I mean, he's doing a great job.
And, you know, you want to talk about C-list. As far as bad guys are concerned...
Oh, yeah.
Kilgrave is, like... He's not even C-list. He's, like, F-list. Like, nobody ever heard of this guy.
Right.
And he's... He's now become, you know, a major bad guy in what is going to be a very major show.
Yeah.
We are in talks with the UCF Victim Services. They're going to be having somebody come out. You know, we mentioned this before. There's some very heavy themes in here. There's some, like, yes. This is not for kids. There's issues with sexual assault. There's issues with, you know, with a lot of, like, just... It's bad. It's hard stuff.
For those of you not really familiar with Jessica Jones, she basically is a character that she was like a Z-grade superhero in the Marvel Universe. She was really kind of retconned in from the beginning of her existence, where they basically said every major battle, like Civil War, she was there. Bad example, actually, because she is featured in Civil Wars.
But anytime
that there's been a major battle where all the superheroes have come together, she was there, and nobody even really knew her
name. She didn't know her name. Nobody knew her name. No, knew who she was.
And then Kilgrave basically abducts her and uses mind control on her and sexually assaults her, tortures her for months and months and months. And when she gets out and frees herself, nobody even remembers that she
actually, the Avengers free her. In the original comics, yeah. The Avengers, they don't go to free her. They just happen to be stopping Kilgrave.
Yeah, and,
she happens to be there. And when she's like, oh, my God, you guys saved me. They're like, who are you?
Yeah.
We're going to be dealing with some of the themes in there on the show probably around December. The show drops November 20. We're going to wait a little while longer, give everybody a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be having hopefully somebody on from UCF, that's University of Central Florida, for those non-locals. Their victim services said that they'd be more than happy to send somebody over to kind of talk through some of these themes and kind of deal with some of the stuff that's going on in there and kind of take a look at the comic book world in general. Because, you know, comic books have always dealt with the stuff that's going on in the real world. They just do it from their own little perspective here, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you saw it forever, and it's just continuing now. So, anyway, Jessica Jones looks awesome, looks terrifying, looks a little hard. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
A couple other quick things. The bento box, I know this probably isn't your bag. It's along.
No, it's cool.
It's in the spirit of the you know the. Oh come on, the things that you get shipped to your door for $15 a month. Loot Crate.
Loot Crate. Yeah, things like that.
Things like Loot Crate. This one's $50 a month. That's 50. But you get at least $80 worth of board games delivered to your door every single day. I would do this if I didn't have, you know, a mortgage,
right,
and kids.
Yeah, 50 a month seems a bit steep,
and a complete lack of time to be able to, you know, play any of these games,
right?
But still, it's an awesome deal, and I was very excited. I wanted to mention it. I have a few others here that that actually were, and these are just the things that we actually talked about. There's a bunch more on the Facebook page if you guys are curious. Did you see? Now, it's not going to be surprising that Nick was the one who shared this one. The app that tells you someone died in your house.
Yeah, I saw that posted on the Facebook page. I honestly didn't look into it too much.
I haven't read the article.
Yeah.
I was hoping you had.
No.
I can't. I can't. I don't want to know if someone died in my house. The thing is, I've already bought this house.
Yeah, all you had to do was ask the realtor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's usually one of the first things they tell you about. You know, like, well, this charming 3-2 has a pool in the back. A guy died here in 68.
Well, no, they don't have to tell you, but if you ask, then they do have to tell you.
I don't want to know. I have no desire to know if somebody died in my house.
No, but I'm just saying, if you were interested, you would ask before you bought the house.
It's true. It's true. I wasn't interested then, not interested now. Especially now, because, like, what am I going to do?
Exactly.
You know, like, the bank, I don't
get
think it's going
to... Get an exorcism?
No, that's true. It's true. Actually, well, I could perform the exorcism. I am ordained.
There you go.
See? Technically.
Technically.
Me and Stephen Colbert. So that was terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't
know how an app's going to do that for you, but
they track where people died, and they tell you if somebody died there. You can do it.
You can
do it for your apartment.
Yeah,
I mean, really,
I don't want to.
No,
because chances are somebody has.
Maybe not your apartment specifically.
No,
but,
mine. Yeah,
but probably one in the like nearby. It's possible.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, last bit here. This story's a little older, but I'm really really glad it got posted. There's the what they call the Tree of 40 Fruits. Have you seen this thing at all?
I just saw the pretty picture.
It is a very pretty picture.
It is.
Basically, this guy has gone Dr. Frankenstein on the world of trees, mm-hmm. and has managed to graft these trees together so that they produce, you know, like every fruit imaginable, just all of the fruits. Just all of them. And he's done it. Like, my favorite part was, as I was reading through the article, grafting is this thing where you take a piece of a tree and you put mm-hmm. it into another tree and then it goes, right? And I always understood that was something you could do.
Right.
But this guy literally just cuts into the tree, sticks the other piece of tree in there, and then tapes it down. And that's it. And I always imagined that this process was a little more complicated.
Yeah.
But he just says straight up, with tape. He just uses tape. Now, I don't know if there's some kind of special tree tape that you use, you know? Like, you can't use...
It's got to be gaff tape.
Gaff tape? Gaff tape would work. Duct mm-hmm. tape if you don't ever want anything to move ever again.
True.
Actually, they probably need some more room to grow than duct tape will provide. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Are you concerned about the moral implications of multi-fruit trees?
No, just... I don't want my peaches tasting like pears and stuff like that.
It's true. I didn't read anything about how the fruit actually tasted. I wonder if that's a problem.
It could be.
That's you know, all am I'm I getting saying. Am I getting a little apple in my peach?
Yeah,
a little peach in
Frankenfruit.
That is a huge issue.
That's true.
I'd still be down for it. I mean, it's just really pretty, which is always my big thing. You know, that's what I'm. How many times am I saying to you? But mm-hmm. wait, Dan, is it pretty? That's
pretty much. That's all I hear from you.
Exactly. I've always been terribly, terribly concerned with prettiness. All right. So that was a lot of This Week in Geek. I need there to be a little less in geek next time. So if we could work on that, that'd be great. So,
Also something on the Facebook page to let everybody know about you may want to check out. We've got the supercut of all of the footage that we have so far of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Now, Dan was crazy excited about this.
I'm still crazy excited about it. And I'm a little upset that it doesn't have more likes, to be honest with you, on our page. because it's amazing. They took all of the teaser trailers and our final trailer and everything and wove them together into this beautiful tapestry. So we have, instead of just a 90-second preview, we've got a 3-minute and 40-second preview. and it's amazing.
It is really good. I'm going to be honest. I really liked what was going on with it. I thought it did tell a much more story. Mm-hmm. I'm also, you know, as long as we're in there, I'm reading the Star Wars book. Professor Stone would be so disappointed in me right now. I borrowed it from him. Mm-hmm. It's the first book of the trilogy leading into the new movie, The Force Awakens, and it's called Aftermath. There we go.
There we go.
Aftermath.
I was about to Google machine it.
I know, and I'm really glad that I managed to remember before you did. It is awesome. I'm absolutely loving it. It is really like,
yeah.
So, all right. So let's go ahead and get into our top story. We have a we've got a bunch of shows that we're going to be covering. Our main geek dramas is essentially kind of the our rough theme. It's kind of a weird one, okay. But we're talking about our major hour long geek heavy shows.
Okay.
So there's a ton of others honorable mentions that we're going to also do.
Yeah.
But we've got these. We've got five main ones that we're going to be talking about today. Okay. We've got Heroes Reborn, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Gotham, Flash, and Doctor Who.
Okay.
Now we just dedicated an entire episode to
Walking
Dead. So I feel like we could probably let that go. I also, by the way, am thinking about recording a 5-minute rant on last week's episode. So that won't be an episode. It'll just be me ranting and seeing if anybody's dumb enough to download it. So these are the five shows. Now, one of the problems here, though, is I'm pretty sure wasn't Danielle the one who was watching Flash?
No, I'm watching Flash.
Oh, you're watching Flash. Okay, yeah. Good. Then we're covered. Because I'm watching all of the other ones, too. So I know we've got at least one of us has watched all of these. That's good. Honorable mention, we're not covering, but we're talking about them a little bit more in the second half of the show. Includes Arrow, Supernatural, which is a personal favorite, but I had to, there's only so much time.
Sure.
Grimm, and then Supergirl.
Yes, definitely want to talk about that. That debuted last night,
right? And then a few others. If we have time, Geeks Who Drink,
At Midnight, and Comic Book Men.
Right. So there's a lot to go over here, but let's start with hashing it out with these big five. So let's talk about just real quick. Right now, we don't need to get into specifics. We're going to avoid spoilers as much as possible. But where are these shows at? Are they doing? Are they on the right track? Mm-hmm. What's going right? What's going wrong? So let's start. Let's just start right at the top of the list. Heroes Reborn. So let's go ahead and do this. Let's give this a 1 out of 5, 1 to 5. How many stars? 1 star, 5 stars.
Okay.
So where are you putting Heroes Reborn?
You know, my heart says 5.
Uh huh.
My head says 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'd give it 4. So I suppose that's about right.
I guess it balances out.
I'm really happy with it. I think I like what they're doing with it. I like the direction it's going. I like they've now made me care about these other characters. I was a little concerned that they were doing the thing where they were going 1,000 different directions, but they're coalescing them quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly.
Yes.
And you can already see some overlap. You can already see some interact. You can see where they're all heading to the same place. Mm-hmm. So that part's been a really, really big deal to me. I feel like we've seen a lot of powers, but not an overwhelming amount. And the thing that I always love the most about heroes, the normal people also have a role to play.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can see that just constantly.
It's just, I really hoped that they learned from their mistakes from the past and that these episodes would move a little bit more.
Dragging a bit for you?
It takes so long for everything to happen in the series. I mean, what they've done in... How many episodes has it been now? 3 or 4?
No, like 6, 4. I think.
It feels
4,
it feels like this could have been done in the first 2.
They could, yes. But
they could have done this much plot development and this much action in the first 2 episodes. And
but they would have to drop down the number of characters.
Not much.
I think so. I mean, I guess we could have had a little bit less of Zachary Levi crying.
Like 90% less. I mean, it was like Interstellar. the guy's a bummer.
Yeah.
You know,
he's not a pretty crier.
No, he's not. By the way, he's also the host of Geeks Who Drink, which we'll talk about later. Yeah.
Well, and he was also, of course, the Chuck from the show Chuck.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I'm saying,
and apparently, from what I've heard, the ratings are slipping.
Oh, are they
quickly?
Oh, I hope
for
not.
Heroes Reborn.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'm giving it 4 stars.
Like the first week, it had huge numbers, and it's been just diving.
Oh, that's too bad. I really liked it. So, okay, but I'm giving 4 stars. Where are you at?
I'm averaging out at 4.
All right. All right. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After what was undoubtedly one of the worst first seasons of any show to have survived. Like, there are shows with worst first seasons, but they don't have second seasons.
Right.
But if you're supported by both Marvel and Disney, and Disney owns the network you're on, chances are you get a little bit more of a... And I'm glad.
Deep pockets.
And I'm glad because it has gotten so much better.
Yeah?
So much better. You gave up on it, right?
I did, and it's like... I would like to get back in, but at the same time, that seems just like so much work.
It is a little bit. If you're, by the way, if you're trying to, if you're looking at it, you gave up. Start with season one episode. I think it's 12 or 13. It's Tahiti, or no, Trax. It's all as a acronym. There we go. I don't know what it's supposed to say, but the episode title is T period R period A period, like that. All Trax.
Okay.
And it's right before the episode Tahiti. And you just start there and go, and you'll skip over. It doesn't matter. They're a bunch of pretty quipsters. That's what happens for the first chunk.
Okay.
And now, look, now they're doing interesting things. This season, they're on season 3 now, and it has gotten, I mean, I'm really, really impressed with it. The characters have really developed. They've done a whole bunch of stuff. Ooh, but you know what they haven't done? And I want to jump back and give Heroes Reborn credit for this. Heroes Reborn kills people.
Oh, yeah.
They kill, like, characters that shouldn't die are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. That's major. Yeah. So there's that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still not willing to do that. They've killed one guy, and that was about it. Well,
Marvel has never been in big favor of killing people.
That's true. Since the lead character died in the Avengers movie, I suppose we probably shouldn't be terribly surprised by it. But Phil Coulson, Clark Gregg, is the guy who plays Phil Coulson, still one of the just casual badass. That's the only thing. Like, he's such a... There's no other words for him. He's just a casual badass all the time, and it's an awesome just watch him do his thing.
Have you noticed, by the way, one thing that I hope with that show that they bring into play is in the cinematic universe... They still haven't told the Avengers that he's alive.
And from what I'm hearing, they won't.
Yeah.
They're saying that there's been a lot of rumors and talk that the two things are going to diverge.
I think that could be worked into Civil War really well.
I think it could be, too. Yeah. I mean, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't.
I mean, that's what united them.
Right.
Was his death. And now you're going to be like, oh, by the way, he's not really dead. And we've been lying to you for 3 years.
Well, he was dead. They just... brought him back.
Right.
It's different. He was dead at the time.
But we didn't mention it to you.
Well, who has time? all right, let's... So I'm going to give Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm going to give it 4 stars. I think it's right up there with that one and Heroes Reborn. I'm just... Both of them I'm really, really enjoying. Okay. Let's talk Gotham.
Ooh, yeah.
Speaking of shows that had crappy, crappy first seasons.
Yeah, you know, it showed signs of life throughout the first season.
Yeah, little blips of hope.
But this also with along the lines of Heroes Reborn, they move so slow.
They did.
The second season though, they're kicking it up a notch or 10.
I gotta tell you, the kid who was not Joker was one of the best Jokers.
Yeah, he was really good.
Wow.
Yeah, that kid's gonna get some work off that, I hope.
I certainly hope so, because he was absolutely phenomenal.
Are you up to date?
No, I'm off by an episode, I think. I was trying to get everything caught up, but my children don't appear to realize how important the show is. So you can blame them for it.
Last night's was really good. We got some major developments with one of my favorites from that show, Mr. Edward Nygma.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, we were starting to see that going a little bit. I wasn't sold on his little split thing.
Yeah.
But it's getting there.
Did you see... Okay, this is not necessarily a spoiler because it was, I think, either the end of last season or the beginning of this year. He killed the one cop that was picking on the girl.
No, did he?
Beating her.
Because here's what happened. Let me tell you. So I watched Gotham season one for as long as I could, and then eventually was like, no. And so then I missed like the last 4 or 5 episodes and then just picked up season 2, episode 1. And like they did previously on Gotham. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like,
for those of you not watching Gotham, what they're basically doing is this is the, for lack of a better term, the Jesus years for Bruce Wayne, between the time when mom and dad were killed and he became Batman that we've never really seen before. And they are showing it really from the point of view of Commissioner Gordon,
right.
Who is now Detective Gordon, working his way up the ladder. And they're introducing all these villains kind of either as children or as like origin stories for the villains
before they get
Batman
to where they
will
are.
Eventually fight. And Edward Nygma, of course, is the Riddler. And he works in the crime lab.
Right, which I believe was canon. Like that was actually the way they did that back in the comics.
And there was a girl in the precinct that he had a crush on. And there was a cop that was dating her, and he was abusing her. And Nygma was kind of stalking her and was kind of outside of her house, ran into the guy. They got into an altercation. He stabbed and killed the guy.
Wow.
And last night, he basically... Oh, do we need to do a spoiler? Can we say spoilers here?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do... Okay, brief spoiler here. Go ahead.
Brief spoiler. He basically got to go on a date with her, and he ends up confessing to her what he did, thinking that it's going to impress her.
Oh.
And she freaks the hell out.
Yeah, confessing to murder, not a great play. If you're looking to impress a woman, gentlemen.
That's generally first, not how you do it.
First, don't murder. Mm-hmm. But second, if you've chosen to murder for whatever reason, confessing is not going to get you...
She kept on saying, like, I'm worried about your safety because if he comes back,
right,
he's going to come after you. So he confessed, and then he ended up basically choking her to death.
Oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
So now that's kind of, I think, his cracking point where he's going to go really insane and become the Riddler.
Okay.
So that was pretty fun.
All right. Well, that happened.
Yeah.
So Gotham Season 2, definitely on an upswing, definitely aiming in the direction it needs to be going.
Rise of the Villains is right, because every week they're coming out with a different villain.
Which is their theme for Season 2. So that absolutely needs to happen. So where are you putting it?
I love what they're doing. I'm on a 5 for this season.
On a 5?
Yeah. Definitely compared to last season.
Yes. Yeah. But overall, do I like it as much as I like Heroes Reborn or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? No. I'm really enjoying both of those shows right now. Part of it may be maybe a preference for the more Marvel style, I guess, than a DC style.
It's pretty dark. It's grim.
I'm gonna go 3.5 stars. Like it's right there. It's still absolutely worth watching. It's just, I mean, that's just more of a personal preference than anything to do with the quality of the show. Mm-hmm. I love Bullock. I love Gordon. Both of those are dynamite actors doing a fantastic job. Michael Chiklison is the new commissioner.
Yes,
absolutely.
And the Penguin is amazing.
The Penguin is Robin Lord Taylor, fantastic. Is the Penguin true to the character, the real character, you know what I mean, getting away from the Danny DeVito depiction, you know, getting into some more of like what makes the Penguin. It was really, really good. All right, so tell me about Flash
is so good,
because I have a lot of people who are telling me I need to watch Flash.
You
and I haven't.
Dude, you really do.
Dan Rogers has been on me to do it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit what's making Flash worth it.
All right, first of all, like I watched the first season of Arrow, and I really wanted to get behind it. I really did, and it just was too soap opera.
That's what happened to me, too. Yeah, which is why it's on our honorable mentions, not on our top 5.
It was just too much, and then they went down this Ra's al Ghul path that just, I don't know, it just didn't strike me the right way. So I gave up on that. But they do these crossovers with Arrow or with Flash that are fantastic.
Yeah.
And it all kind of started as a spinoff. And they are doing the Barry Gordon version of the Flash.
Uh-huh.
And they are sticking so close to what the comic books were. Like, it's unbelievable. And the first season was, you know, him developing his powers, finding, you know, discovering them and getting faster and faster. We had the Reverse Flash was the big bad last season. This season, they are exploring the multiverse. So last season...
Which is gutsy.
Yeah, last season ended with a black hole opening over the city, and the Flash had to run in reverse, kind of Superman 2-esque. And reverse the polarity of the thing and make it close.
Right, like you do, obviously. Yeah.
And when that happened, he opened up 52 gateways to alternate universes around the world. And all these villains and other versions of the Flash are coming through.
So that is in keeping with the comics. The you might, if for those of you who you know, don't really read the comic books. One of the big things that the DC's got going on is the New 52. Mm-hmm. And basically the idea here is that there's, you know, they're tracking all these different multiverses and whatever else. And it's pretty standard for comics to tackle something like multiverses and multiple versions of the same hero. We don't typically see it happening outside of comic book specific, you know? So to see that happening on a TV show is...
It's amazing.
It's impressive.
Like, I've seen tweets from people talking about it that, like, they were crying as they were watching somebody on TV explain the multiverse. Like, the way that they did it, it was beautifully done. The writing on the show is fantastic. The acting is fantastic. It's got, what's his name? The guy from Law & Order that was in Rent. Yeah, that guy.
Tom Collins.
Yeah.
And his actual name doesn't matter because he's Tom Collins.
Anyway, he plays Barry's love interest's dad, who is also kind of like his adoptive father that raised him while his dad was in jail.
Okay. I was confused on the first. Barry's love interest, her father.
Right.
Okay. Now I just kind of lost that one for a second there.
No problem. So the basic storyline is that in the first season, we find out that Barry's mom was murdered by a speedster when he was a child. And his dad was framed basically for the murder of his mother and went to jail. And his best friend is a cop, and he ends up raising Barry. And the toughest part for Barry about that is that he's always had a crush on his new, basically, adoptive stepsister.
That's awkward.
Yeah. So they grow up together, and Jesse L. Martin. That's the guy's name.
I just looked it up. You're not taking credit for that.
No, I didn't. I can't even see it from here.
Oh, okay. It's Jesse L. Martin. He's right there.
Yeah. Amazing actor. I love the guy to death. And the last episode, he basically like had a 5-minute monologue where he was crying the entire time and just pulled it off beautifully. It's almost not fair that he's on the show because he's such a better actor than anybody else in the room. But I mean, it's a fantastic show. They pull it off really well.
All right, so I'm gonna have to go back. I need to give Flash a fair shake. I haven't had time to do it yet, but it needs to happen.
They've even introduced Jay Garrick, the Golden Age Flash, the one that had like the metal helmet with the wings on it.
Right.
He came into it. He's been in every episode this season.
That's awesome.
It's great.
Okay, so let's talk a last one here. Doctor Who.
Woo.
I'm sorry. Let's jump back. Where do you give in the Flash?
I give the Flash a solid 5.
Solid 5?
Solid 5.
Okay.
So it's really good.
So let's talk Doctor Who.
Let's.
I stayed up stupid late to be sure I was caught up on Doctor Who.
Uh-huh.
I'm literally loving every single thing I'm seeing. Yeah. There's just nothing there that I don't like. I know some people will disagree. I like the relationships that's developing between Clara and the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It feels genuine, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He cares about her, but he cares about her in his own way. Mm-hmm. It feels very father-daughter.
But I think he can see, every time he looks at her, he can see that he's not going to be with her much longer.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know. You can see, yeah, he can,
it's amazing the way that they're pulling that off.
Absolutely. And it's in a thousand little things. There was one much more obvious one at the end of this last episode, but, you know, If you're watching carefully, you can see it start to happen from a couple episodes back. Like they've been very, very careful about this.
Yeah.
I've loved it. Just I can't think of a bad thing. I mean, and then they bring in. Okay, you say her name because I'm not going to say it right.
Maisie.
I keep trying to throw in extra vowels. I don't know what it is.
I always forget her last name, but
Williams.
Maisie.
Is it Williams?
Yeah, Maisie Williams.
Yeah, I can't. Last name I got. The first name is Maisie or Marcy.
Maisie.
I know. I want to make it more complicated, and I don't know why.
Like Daisy, but with a...
Maisie Williams.
There you go.
Who plays Arya Stark on Game of Thrones and has been... it's phenomenal. I love what they did with her because I thought they were just going to make her a clean-cut bad guy.
Right.
And just go that route with it. And they didn't. And that was awesome. And then as I was watching this episode this past week's episode.
Yeah.
And very minor spoiler. Mm-hmm. She's like, why would you take me with you? And he's like, no. And the whole time, why wouldn't you take her? She's obviously the person you take with you. Take her with you. And then when he explains why at the end,
Yeah.
And I love.
Tears your heart out.
Dude.
It's amazing.
Dude. Just. there's nothing wrong with anything. I cannot point to a single thing I've disliked from Missy coming in and carrying that first little bit. Some classic Doctor Who stuff going on with the underwater stuff.
Yes.
And now into introducing Maisie Williams. And this little quick jaunt they've done with her. And you can obviously tell that they're setting her up for a much bigger thing overall. The little thing in the background of the picture. Just everything about Doctor Who's been perfect. Where are you at?
I'm loving everything this year. I love the guitar. I'm along for the ride on the glasses.
Oh, you know what? Okay, I'll take that back. I'm not down with the sunglasses.
Again, I just feel like it's only got an episode or two left. I feel like definitely by the end of the season.
I thought when they broke last week, it was going to stay broken. I was hoping that was going to be the end of it. But fine. Yeah. Fine. I'm just saying, Google Glass didn't survive. Your sunglasses shouldn't survive either. All right? Like, besides, they cover his attack eyebrows.
That's true.
And let me tell you what, as another man with attack eyebrows, you don't. this is true. When I get sunglasses, I have to get sunglasses that sit far and low enough so that you can see skin between the sunglasses and the eyebrows, because otherwise it looks like I'm wearing weirdly shaped sunglasses because the eyebrows are so big.
First world hairy man problems.
Otherwise, I have to get like ones that cover my whole face, and then I just look like I fell out of Back to the Future 2.
Right.
A little callback for you there. Uh-huh. So I have to get like these little, they're very specific. I mean, that's what you deal with when you deal with brows this powerful. And I'm just saying, Capaldi, don't.
Capaldi.
Whatever. Capaldi.
How'd you feel about him realizing why he picked the face?
Oh, it was awesome. I loved it. They did. Amazing. I can't believe the fact that they went back and acknowledged it. Yeah. Huge. Huge.
Yeah.
Just.
Well, there was rumors that they were going to, and they did it, and they did it beautifully.
Quickly.
Yes.
I was figuring they were going to do a big three episode, whatever. No, just in and out.
Quick. It was a thought. It was a realization. And I'm the doctor. I save people. That's what I do.
Oh, so good.
Into action. And, the second chip thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how that's going to work out.
And there was like this look on Clara's face for like just the quickest half a second when he explained to her what it did.
Yeah.
Where she was like, okay, why didn't you just grab me one?
Right. Right. Like, I mean, you took the time to make two.
Yeah.
Like make a third. Yeah.
There was like 10 of those guys.
Exactly.
Where's mine?
Exactly. But and again, they addressed it. And that's what they keep doing with this show that I love so much. They leave these things that feel like holes, but they're not.
No.
They address them.
It's beautiful. Woven together beautifully.
Amazingly done. Amazingly done. Okay, so Doctor Who, I know I said 1 to 5, but I got it. I think
it's a 10.
Exactly. It's absolutely the best going on right now.
Absolutely.
There's no other better sci-fi show, sci-fi geek show. There's no better geek show going on right now than Doctor Who. Period.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's your rankings. It sounds like the one doing the worst out of them is Gotham, and it's still doing really, really, really well.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, and that's a personal. I guess I would put Gotham at the bottom of that list. I'm assuming you're going to put like, well, you're not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Even The Flash, I will concede, is amazing. I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about it. What I love is whenever anybody talks about The Flash, the first thing they do is acknowledge Arrow. Be like, I know Arrow, but it's not. And right. I'm like, okay, now let's, because that's been my big holdback.
Mm-hmm.
It's the problem with the CW shows. Let's go. As a matter of fact, let's jump into our honorable mentions here, because I want to talk about Arrow and Supernatural, both CW shows, both quality shows. I can't get into the soap opera stuff with Arrow. I just can't do it. I loved it. I loved the premise. I liked the actors. Mm-hmm. But the other part was there's just a lot of – they're very clearly setting up the emotional conflicts.
Not only that, but I've always been a fan of my superheroes, especially superheroes on TV, I guess, that they don't kill, and there's a lot of killing in that show.
Does Arrow kill?
He shoots people with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, I guess he does. Well, I mean, I don't know. Listen, I'm used to like,
and now
the
there's
arrow.
Like five of them that shoot arrows on that show. Like, there's a bunch of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody needs
the red arrow and the yellow arrow. Like, there's a
speedy,
bunch of them.
Speedy, which is a sidekick, which is always
They haven't done that though.
I thought I saw something about the girl becoming Speedy. Because Speedy's not a speedster,
right,
which has always been confusing to me. Speedy just happens to shoot bows and arrows. And I really feel like somebody
and
in
smack.
DC... What's that?
And smack.
Oh.
Yeah, that was Speedy's thing in the comic books. He's addicted to heroin.
Was that why they called him Speedy? Because I felt like that was a Golden Age mistake.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
All right. So, but both of them, but you know, but that's always been an Arrow just did it too. Supernatural has done better about it. Supernatural is, I'm enjoying it.
Did you watch the British version?
Of Supernatural?
Yeah.
No.
No. My wife did.
British version of Supernatural with Padalecki and Jensen Ackles.
Started off British.
No way. I will have to look that up. My wife is actually the one who got me into Supernatural. She's obsessed with it. I got to admit, I've gotten really, really interested. As far as this scene is concerned, the only thing I want to say is I was really hoping they were going to go Cthulhu with this thing. I really wanted them to bring out like the old ones, like the really big ancient evils, and it doesn't feel like they're going to do that right now. My big thing with Supernatural is, guys, listen, this has been an amazing run. It's time to wrap this up. You're running out of things to fight. It's just, you clearly, it's the other big thing you learned after watching a couple seasons of Supernatural, it would really be better for everyone if the main characters died. They saved the world, but they also are the ones who constantly get the world in jeopardy.
You know what? I was wrong.
Okay.
I was thinking Being Human.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, Being Human, we're not going to discuss. I can't. I just can't. I tried to watch it. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe if Danielle were here or get my wife on or something, because I can't. I'm going to white girl this. I literally can't even. That's where I'm at with it. Grimm, I gave up on Grimm. Are you still watching it? I think Danielle.
I watched the first episode.
I loved the premise. I was in it for a while, and then eventually I just kind of got, maybe I need to go back and give it another shake. Let's talk Supergirl though, because Supergirl is absolutely now Supergirl premiere.
Yeah.
My concern here is that Supergirl is very clearly not designed for men in their mid-30s.
Not necessarily.
I felt like it was geared more towards a younger female audience, which is awesome.
I think that they're gonna do at least they're trying to do a really good job of balancing that. And making that part of it, but not to the point where they're going to alienate the rest of geekdom.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, listen, we can absolutely make
Are we starting a hashtag boycott Supergirl? Because it insults our male.
Yeah, our middle-aged geekness. Male whatever something.
No,
something.
No, we're not going to do that.
No, I don't know. Supergirl looked good, and it looked fun and enjoyable. I wish I caught the premiere.
I did.
Right.
And, you know, they jump in faster than any superhero show I've ever watched.
And can I just say, about damn time.
Like, even The Flash, that got right into it pretty quick. Like, he was in the uniform by the end of the first episode. But she's in the uniform 10 minutes into the first episode. Like, they've already done a montage of her trying on different outfits, different costumes, figuring out why she needs the cape, like... That's all done in the first 10 minutes.
They get into why she needs the cape?
It's just a quick throwaway line that helps with aerodynamics.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? I mean, I don't know that that's true, but sure, why not?
Yeah. Okay, and quick little summary without major spoilers. This version of Supergirl, what's happened is that she was sent after Clark to protect him, or I should say after Kal-El. He was sent as an infant. She was 12 years old. Her ship got stuck in the negative zone for 24 years.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
And somehow, they haven't said how yet, but somehow it got out of the negative zone, but it dragged this negative zone prison along with it. And now the prison has crashed onto Earth, and all of the prisoners have escaped. And so we've got all these super-powered villains going around the world. They jumped into all of this in the first episode.
Wow.
There is an anti-alien organization that works for the government that her stepsister or adoptive sister is a member of, and she's basically joining them to find her villains to get rid of.
Did they
like,
identify
her government agency already set up in the first episode?
Did they identify the organization?
I don't recall what the name of it was, but yes, they did.
Okay. So there's one that that Batman's constantly working, Cadmus, who's both the government organization and the not a government organization.
It's not that one.
Okay, well, Cadmus is the one actually who ends up being the Amanda Waller heads that up, and she's the one that's going to be doing the stuff with Suicide Squad. There we go. So I was curious if it was going to be, because Cadmus occasionally has government ties, depending on which version or whatever. It's not really terribly important. But overall, so how are you feeling about Supergirl, though? Was it good? Were you liking it?
It's good. I'm going to give it another try. Quick thing also, she works at a magazine instead of a newspaper.
But right.
She works at a magazine. She's basically like a personal assistant to the editor.
You're a Devil Wears Prada.
Very, very much.
You're right.
James Olsen has just started working at the magazine, and he is, formerly Jimmy Olsen, and he's now a Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Seriously.
This is all taking place well after Superman's been established in this universe.
Right, right, right. Because of the delay, because she got stuck in the negative zone. And
exactly.
The inciting incident in the
episode that gets her to finally use her powers is that her sister is on a plane that she sees is about to crash. And so she goes and saves the plane. And that's like, it's a bird, it's a plane. You know, that's the first time that people have seen her.
Okay.
And she immediately gets into costume. She immediately starts working with this government agency. It's just so quick that it gets into it. I wish there was a little bit more development there.
Really?
Yeah. It seems forced.
Okay. Well, I mean, I suppose it's like the opposite of the, what's been called the Spider-Man movie. Well, I was thinking of the Spider-Man movies where we're going to tell the origin story over and over and over and over again.
Right.
But I guess we really don't know.
They glazed right over the origin story on this one, basically.
Gotcha.
Like, that was 2 minutes out of the entire episode, it felt like.
All right.
Yeah.
So Supergirl, gonna give another episode.
I think it's gonna be good.
I'm gonna go back and watch the premiere. My concern is still that it's just not a show that's built for, for my age bracket, and I'm having a hard time keeping up with my TV shows as it is. So I want to check it out, though. Flash, I'm probably gonna have to check out first, but I'll definitely, Supergirl, at least need to see the premiere.
It's interesting to me that it's on CBS, of all things.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, and Dean Cain plays her adoptive father.
That is the best part I've heard.
Yeah.
That
freaking
is just
Dean Cain.
Awesome. Good for you, Dean. Good for you.
I love that.
Okay, so we've got... So that covers that one. So Geeks Who Drink at Midnight Comic Book Men. Let's just do a real quick...
These are more of your fun geek shows.
Right.
There's nothing heavy going on here at all.
No.
Geeks Who Drink is a great little game show that is hosted by Zachary Levi from Heroes Reborn. And he basically brings in two different celebrities from geekdom, and they each get two team members to join them that are just regular geeks. It's they all have a drink in their hand. It's kind of a drinking game meets game show.
All right.
And as they accumulate points, they run up a higher bar tab, and whoever wins gets both bar tabs, plus they always have crazy, like, awesome geek prizes like Xbox One or...
Awesome.
Surface tablets, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. So now at Midnight, I'll go ahead and take this one because this one I am.
Go for it.
Our man, Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
Who is the head of the Nerd, founder of the Nerdist, just super geek extraordinaire. He's the host of Talking Dead. If you haven't seen Chris Hardwick, you're missing out. He's just a really, really cool guy. Does a show at Midnight, which is, just basically a bunch of comedians making fun of the internet.
Pretty much.
And it is very geek heavy. It is. It's premieres on the Comedy Central following the Daily Show and then the Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into At Midnight. So it's absolutely worth checking out. I've always enjoyed the show. It's really nice, fun. You don't need to keep track of what's going on. Sit down, watch an episode, and good. Really light, really easy. Why don't you talk to us about Comic Book Man?
Comic Book Man. I love this show. It's
You're a really big Kevin Smith fan.
I am a big Kevin Smith fan.
I'm a fan.
I love Kevin Smith. Especially his earlier movies. His newer movies have gone down a weird track, but I'm okay with it. But anyway, Comic Book Men is basically, after he became rich and famous, he decided that he was going to help one of his best friends who always wanted to own his own comic book store. And so Kevin Smith owns the comic book store, and his buddy runs it, and they're partners in some way.
Right.
And it's called The Secret Stash. It's in Red Bank, New Jersey, where Clerks took place,
which is nice. I do, one of the things I got mad respect for Kevin Smith on, though, is he's always goes back to, like, I mean, that's a man who knows where he's from. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? That's cool.
And basically, it's two of his best friends from growing up. One of them works in the store. One of them just kind of hangs out. And then there's two guys that work there that are like hardcore comic book guys.
Yeah.
Ming Chen and Mike Zapsik. And basically, it's a reality show that follows them around working in a comic book store, dealing with people coming in and buying and selling rare comic books and geek memorabilia. And it's a lot of fun. And then they do cutaway shots where they're in a studio recording the podcast version of it with Kevin Smith. And so they're basically telling him what goes on in the shop every week.
All right.
Yeah. And they have little guest spots. Sometimes he'll come and work in the store, or Jason Mewes will come and work in the store. Or one of the more recent episodes, his daughter, Harley Quinn, came in and worked in the store.
Wait, Jason's daughter? Or
Kevin's daughter.
Kevin's daughter's named Harley Quinn?
Yeah.
I can. All right, good.
And in fact, awesome. If you haven't seen Tusk, if you have, if you like kind of the horror parody category of movie, check it out. Basically, it started off as a joke on his podcast of somebody pitched him a story of a Craigslist listing of somebody looking for somebody to come and live as a walrus in their house. And basically what it turned into is like a parody of the Human Centipede.
Okay.
But instead of turning somebody into a human centipede, he literally turned him into a walrus with tusks and everything. In the movie, a detective is looking for them. The detective is actually played by Johnny Depp.
What?
Yes. He's got huge names in this movie.
Okay.
And Jason Long is in the movie. He plays the guy that gets turned into the walrus. And Haley Joel Osment's in it. But you've got Johnny Depp and his daughter are both in it. And Harley Quinn is in it. So you've got the two daughters are, they work as like a Quickie Mart as clerks. And the next movie.
Of course they do.
And this all takes place in Canada. He's doing his Canadian trilogy. And so the next one is going to be called Yoga Hosers. And it's starring his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter. And Johnny Depp's going to be in that one as well.
I mean, sure, why not?
And then the third one, which will be coming out, I think, in 2 years, is going to be Moose Jaws. And it's basically like the moose version of Jaws.
Okay.
It's a monster movie.
So let's go to the B-roll, because I'm just not even...
I said, he's doing some weird stuff, but he's having fun with it right now.
As long as he's having a good time.
And he's huge on the comic book world.
Sure. So. Absolutely. Whatever you want to do, Kevin. Forgive me if I don't catch those.
I'll be reporting back on them.
Please don't. B-roll here. We're not going to... It seems a shame to do this without... the two people, really, with this B-roll, what we should be doing with this B-roll is just putting Dan Rogers and Danielle on either side of the mic, and then just stepping away and being like, "Hey, here's what happened," and then move back. So, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child,
yeah,
new Harry Potter story set in the Harry Potter universe, immediately following the events of the last Harry Potter book. Mm-hmm. And now follows his son, Albus, as he goes to school and deals with this stuff. It is only going to be on the London stage. I forget the name of the theater that it's in. It doesn't really matter because none of us are going to London to go see it. I mean, I suppose Danielle might, but we'll have to wait and see what happens there. So Dan Rogers' whole thing. Are you familiar with Dan Rogers and his old beef with Harry Potter?
No.
Okay. So Dan says... his whole thing is when J.K. Rowling finished the last book, she said, "I'm done with the Harry Potter universe." And Dan says, then she's done. She can't go back. She can never do anything else. She said she wouldn't, and she won't. She can't. It's not allowed. Okay? And he's very upset about it because that's Dan. And I see that you're... So then when the...
Okay.
When they were announcing the new trilogy of books, the school books thing Dan frothed the mouth and was very, very upset and said that it was a complete sellout. Danielle maintains, however, that if J.K. Rowling were to I'm going to exaggerate here just a hair, but just a hair. If J.K. Rowling were to sneeze into a tissue, as far as she's concerned, that's art and should be done. Whereas if Dan believes that if she were to use the word Harry in a sentence, she's selling out and should be shot.
What if she just wanted to talk about how much she loves Harry and the Hendersons?
Nope. Doesn't matter. Damn. Sell out. So that's they're pretty diametrically opposed in this particular issue.
Yeah.
I take a little bit more of a middle road.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, and I know I mentioned it before. I'm going to say it again. If you were going to go back to the Harry Potter universe, great. Go back to the Harry Potter universe. I don't give a crap about his kids. I want you to go back. Tell me the story of James. Tell me the story of Remy. Not Remy. Remy? Remus. Remy's different.
Yeah.
Remus. Tell me the story of them dealing with Dumbledore the first time, the original Order of the Phoenix. That, to me, is way more interesting. Also, on stage, really?
What's wrong with on stage?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of us that would
like
to see
it. You have beef with the theater?
I do not have beef with the theater. I have beef with the fact that you took something that literally the vast majority of the world would like to see, mm-hmm. and you put it on stage where nobody can see it.
Okay, well, here's my thought on it. The first time, the very first thing that I saw when I realized that they were doing this as a play and not as a book was that she's fast-tracking her next movie.
You mean her next movie is the...
Her next Harry Potter movie. I'm saying they're going to put this in movie form within the next couple of years.
Do you think she's selling out?
I don't think she's selling out. I don't care. A creative person changed their mind?
Well,
that doesn't bother me.
No, it doesn't bother me either. I mean, I'll be very clear here.
Creative people are allowed to change their minds.
I'm not that creative. Right. If I could sell out the show, I would do it. I would do it quickly.
It's not like she wrote the Constitution and then said, this isn't changing, and then went to change it. Okay? This is fiction.
Okay, now, so
she can add on to it. If 30 years from now she wanted to be like, hey, I wrote a prequel, I'm down. I don't care. She can write whatever she wants to write.
Do you think...
What I think she was doing here was, I've got a story in my mind, I want to get this out real fast, and let's just fast track it. So instead of spending all the time on all the explanation of writing about all of the... setting the scene and all that, you write a script and it's just dialogue. It tells the story, and then boom, we can make that a play, and then boom, we make it a movie.
I guess my concern here is that you're suggesting that writing a play is easier than writing a book. I don't know if that's
just saying,
true or not.
I'm saying that from her point of view, maybe that's what she's thinking, is that sure. I can just write dialogue and not have to worry about anything else. And, you know, she's already got the world developed.
Sure.
So
okay, but now, you know, J.K. wrote this other novel whose name I don't even remember, which tells you exactly how it did.
Right.
And she released it under a pseudonym. It flopped. Or it didn't flop. It just didn't sell like most books don't sell.
Right.
And then it got leaked that it was hers and everybody bought it up. And then they didn't talk about it anymore.
Right. So stick with what you're good at.
So, well, I'm saying that if she did that, looked at those sales, I mean, let's assume she looked at those sales and she said, I want people to like me, and went back and did Harry Potter because she wanted people to like her and she was greedy and wanted more money. Mm-hmm. Do you have a problem with any of that?
No.
Okay. I don't think I do, but Dan Rogers makes such an impassioned argument that sometimes I'm like, do I care about this?
To me, she said, okay, I'm done with this, I'm moving on. She moved on and she went, you know what? Maybe I should go back to that. That was working. I've got other stories that I can tell in that universe.
Right.
The readers will enjoy that.
And they do.
The fans will enjoy it, and that's all that should matter.
All right.
I mean, after 25 years, Lucas decided to put out his prequels.
Yeah, hopefully this will go better than that.
Yeah, and then, what, 15, 10, 15 years later, we get 20 years later? How long?
I don't even know anymore.
We're old. But in any case... Now we're getting this whole other view of it.
Sure.
And it's just growing and doing its thing. And I don't think there's any problem with that.
I think the only way I'm going to get upset is if J.K. goes George Lucas on this and starts just jacking it up. You know what I mean? Like,
if she throws in Jar Jar Binks.
Exactly. Exactly. Or if she starts going through and retconning and suddenly, you know, like, I don't know. Snape shot first. I don't know what I don't know what the equivalent of that would be, but that stuff that will also you know, you've created your work. I guess that's my bigger thing. You created your work and I'll leave your work alone, which you've already created. Mm-hmm. This is what's happened. You can't go back and just start messing around with it a bunch. You know, like that part mm-hmm. will start bothering me a little bit. Then Lucas kept going back and making these little tweaks all over the place, and I'm stop it.
Well, I mean, if anything, maybe she should learn from Lucas
and not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. All right. So we're gonna definitely be keeping an eye on this. I'm assuming. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna go ahead and call it now.
Mm-hmm.
Her son going Slytherin.
Okay.
They're gonna put him in Slytherin, and he's gonna redeem the house because I think one of the biggest charges that's constantly leveled against the Harry Potter universe is anybody who gets sorted into Slytherin should just be jailed.
Like, pretty much.
Why do we have a house full of evil people?
Yeah.
Like, and for me as an educator. Putting on my educator hat briefly. Really, if you've got instead of putting all the kids who are bad into one house, you should really kind of intersperse them amongst the other houses and, you know, help them find better paths and help them learn to make better choices. That would seem to be a much better plan.
When did you work at a wizard school?
I did not work in a wizard school. That is fair. That's fair.
All right. Leave the curriculum to the wizards.
That's right. What curriculum? They're not learning. Anyway. All right. We need to wrap this up. Danielle.
What?
She's supposed to tell people about us, but let's go ahead and just shamelessly plug things first.
I know we're on Facebook.
Yeah. We'll do it later. Yeah. Go ahead and do the. Tell us about Epic Events there, Dan.
Epic Events is your one-stop shop for all your needs for DJ and lighting services in Central Florida.
And beyond. Yeah, I mean, it's cost you a little extra, but he'll travel.
Yeah, I'll travel anywhere. So,
and if it's going someplace really interesting, I hear he's got another guy who travels with him.
That's right.
Especially, I'm like Southeast Asia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You get any gigs?
That's your spot?
Yeah. If there's anything in Cambodia, let me know. I've been kind of, I almost got Angkor Wat.
We'll do.
Thanks.
But, yeah. So, if you're having a wedding, a private event, a party, anything.
In Cambodia.
Yeah. Or in Central Florida, where there's no travel fees.
Yeah, but seriously, Cambodia.
I'm your guy. Check it out, epiceventsorlando.com. And you can also find me on Facebook. Just look up Epic Events.
And also, I'm going to shame. Do I have anything to shamelessly plug today? I don't think I do. You know what I'm going to do right now? Shamelessly plug. I'm going to shamelessly plug Dr. Horrible's Sing Along blog.
Okay.
This was a.
That's
Joss,
still going?
No. This is Joss Whedon. How would be his name? His little internet short. The whole thing's about 45 minutes. There's three little 15 minute acts. And it stars Neil Patrick Harris as Dr. Horrible.
Right.
And. Nathan Fillion is Captain Hammer, who, by the way, that's what I'm doing for Halloween this year. Go to Captain Hammer for Halloween. I'm very excited. And it's funny, and it's really cool. It's really absolutely worth checking out. So if you have never seen Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog, do so. It also stars Felicia Day as It Doesn't Matter, It's Felicia Mo Fuggin' Day. So I'm going to shamelessly plug the hat. So right seriously, on. I'm a big fan.
I know. You've made that, everyone knows.
Yeah. Actually, I don't really want to meet her anymore because I'm just going to. No, because it's going to end up. If I meet Felicia Day, here's what's going to happen. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Here's how's it going to end, the end result. She's going to file some kind of restraining order. My wife's going to file divorce papers. Like, it's really not. I'm not going to come out the winner in that at all.
Did you see the episode of The Big Bang Theory? I think it was this season.
Summer Glau?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what it would be like.
Yeah, I'd like to believe I kept it together that well.
Yeah.
I might not. So you can, I'll go ahead and try to do Danielle's thing, although she keeps up with this better than I do. Mm-hmm. You can absolutely find us on Twitter at the number 4 Geeks Sake. That's the number 4 Geeks with 2 S's Sake. You can also find us on Facebook at 4 Geeks Sake, just like you'd imagine, with an apostrophe S. Mm-hmm. You can make sure that please guys, seriously, if you like the show, subscribe. It would be very, very helpful. If you're enjoying what's going on, subscribe and give us and rank us, you know, rate us. That would be really, really helpful for us. We would really, really appreciate it. If you've got anything else on your mind, anything you'd like to do, please let us know. We are scheduling the D&D game. We have now five ladies that will be participating in it. I've had to call in some backup to make sure that it all goes right, so I'm very excited about that. So be keeping your eye out for more information on that as it comes forward. And with that, I believe I think I'm all done. So,
all right.
On behalf of myself, Danielle, who wishes she could be here, Dan Rogers, who got talked about a whole bunch tonight, all the folks here at For Geek's Sake, never tell me the odds.